So as many of you know, my name is Michael Rich. I'm the youth pastor. I'm covering for Pastor Russ. And today, so the title of this message is Don't Date God. Now many of you might be thinking, now that's a weird thing to say. It is a weird thing to say. But as I was thinking about, last week we talked about the covenant, as I was thinking about it, this is an image that's come into my mind many times. I'm single, I've never been married, so I can't speak on the marriage aspect of things. I have dated before, I've had friends that have dated, I've seen a lot of dating relationships, I'm semi-familiar with them. I can speak on that with a little bit of experience. One of the most normal things that you hear from people my age, now, I don't want to offend anybody, so don't get offended. This is an opportunity for you to listen and just take it as an example, or you could get offended. Don't get offended. There's this phrase that's used a lot, is practically married. Among people my age, you hear they'll be dating for some time, and usually by that point they're practically married and they've moved into some phases of marriage that they're not married yet. They're living together. They're sharing financial resources, all these things that married people do, but they're not married. They're in this place where they're practically married. And then you have these times where they've taken a dating relationship and added the marriage aspects of it without taking that step into marriage. There's a difference between dating and marriage. There's a big difference. There's no binding in a dating relationship. Yeah, you have some responsibilities. It's oftentimes could be your very best part of your, it could be a very foundational, good part of your relationship. But there's no real commitment there. You know, if I'm dating somebody, I'm not responsible for their well-being. And they're not responsible for my well-being. Now, we might help each other. You might interact with each other. And so today, when we've talked about covenant last week, and we're talking about the new covenant this week, I think that a big part of what we do as American Christians is we have a dating mindset towards God. That when it's good, we're with God. And when it's bad, where are you? Why are you? This isn't working. You're not meeting my needs. These are the things, and then we tend to, you know, stop going to church. Or it's the opposite. When life's good, we're not going to church. And then when things get bad, it's the opposite. And no, going to church is not a picture of your Christianity, but you get the point. We're reading our Bibles when it's good, and then when it's not good, we may not. Or vice versa. We're not reading our Bibles when it's bad. When it's bad, we start reading our Bibles. We do these things often. And it's because we haven't moved into that next level of commitment. In a dating relationship, they don't have that level of commitment yet. They haven't taken the step. They haven't said their vows. They haven't said before God and before people that they're going to do it. There's no commitment there. And so today, when I'm thinking about covenant, I'm thinking that over the last, you know, like I said, back in March, started this journey, and I started realizing, do I have a dating mindset to my relationship with God? I'm a youth pastor. I went to Bible college, so you can't say that I'm not saying that I didn't love God, I didn't serve God. But was I at that level of commitment? Or was I practically married in my relationship with God? Was I doing it without actually taking the steps? And as I was talking about covenant and I've been studying it, I realized, I think this is something that we're missing. We're missing. We do not have that level of commitment. So I'm going to talk to you again today about it. Just a little recap from last week for those of you who weren't here. A covenant, we looked it up on Google. A covenant is an agreement. I was really mad when I read this. It was biblical, righteous anger. I was frustrated. I was like, an agreement, that's so dumbed down. That's not what it, and then they tried to redeem themselves. The very bottom, Google had a thing that talks about a covenant is an agreement that brings about a relationship of commitment between God and his people. The Jewish faith is based on biblical covenants made with Abraham, Moses, and David. So they did better than that one. But what is a covenant? And just real quick, I don't want to go over all we went over last week, but a covenant is an agreement between two parties. And both parties are giving something, and both parties are receiving something. And it is a level of agreement that can't be broken. It's not supposed to be broken. And if there is a breaking of the covenant, you see all throughout Scripture when Israel breaks covenant with God, there's consequences. It's similar to marriage. When you break a marriage covenant, there's consequences. And so we see here that last week we talked about just kind of the foundation of covenant. This week we're going to be talking about the new covenant. The passage, you can't talk about the covenant. I read it last week. You can't talk about the covenant without reading this passage. It's in Jeremiah 31:31. I have read this over and over again. I would encourage each and every one of you to read this over and over again. Jeremiah 31:31, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. He lays out modern Christianity. Jeremiah lays out modern Christianity in four verses. He tells exactly what's going to happen. He said exactly what had happened. And I'll read again. Verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. See, there's that marriage symbolism there. Though he was their husband, they broke covenant. Verse 33. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. And this is talking about us. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And no longer will one teach his neighbor, each brother saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's powerful. What in our lives, when we walk in new covenant, the difference between old covenant and new covenant, when we walk in new covenant, God has written his law on our hearts. If we're not walking in covenant, his law isn't written on our hearts. If we're not walking in covenant, he doesn't remember our sin no more. He remembers it. If we're not walking in covenant, he will not forgive our iniquity. We have to be walking in covenant. So, about covenant, how do we walk in covenant? What does that look like? I'm going to have to credit most of this next little part to Larry King. He talked to me about this. This is something that I would have never thought of without talking to him. There's some things that we've talked about and I've kind of thought about before, and there's some things, but I gave credit to him last week. I have to give credit to him this week. He brought up the picture of Jonathan and David's covenant to me. As many of you know, David was the king of Israel. Jonathan, well, before this, Saul was the king of Israel, and Jonathan was his son. And God had rejected King Saul and anointed David as king. So there is now tension between Saul and David. And David and Jonathan are best friends. And Saul has declared that he's going to kill David. And as David is fleeing from Saul, they make a covenant. And we get a picture of this covenant. In 1 Samuel 18, I'm going to turn there. If you want to turn there too, 1 Samuel 18. In verse 3. Then Jonathan. Have we turned there yet? Oh, wait a second. 1 Samuel 18, 3. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of robe that was on him and gave it to David, and the armor, and even his sword, and his bow and his belt. And David went out. That's the next part. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. So Saul set him over the men of war. And then it kind of continues. Jonathan and David had made a covenant right there. And one of the things that Mr. King pointed out to me in this that I did not know was that in the Hebrew language, when they said a covenant, it kind of means cut a covenant. And he goes into great detail telling us what that looked like. And this is important to understand what the new covenant is important to understand what a cut covenant was. Is they would make a covenant, they would, you know, like you see a picture of it here, and they would cut some place on their body. Usually the wrist, both people. And they would, you know, grab hands like you've seen many times on TV shows and stuff. And their blood would mix right there. This is saying we are making a blood covenant. We are coming as one. And the sealing of the covenant would be them mixing their blood. So, and then also it falling on the ground was really important. Both parties had blood that would mix and fall on the ground. It would be then a covenant. And then from then on out, they would look at their wrists and they would see that scar and it would remind them of the covenant that they had made. And we, as we look at this, as we get a better picture of this, a covenant that was cut and blood that was spilt, we think about, I immediately jumped to the new covenant. We had two parties. We had God and man. Jesus came to this earth. He was both God and man. And he bled. And his blood was on the ground. And he made, and the covenant was sealed right there. This is a new covenant. There we see God making covenant with us again. He made his new covenant. What do we have to do to walk in new covenant? Well, that's easy. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart that Christ came and he died on the cross and he rose again, and you confess it with your mouth, we're entering into covenant. We're consciously entering into covenant. And I'm going to quickly go through this next part. What parts of the new covenant do we get? I kind of talked on it a little bit. What does God give us? You know, I've stressed many times. Both parties give something and both parties receive something. So what does God give to us? When we walk in covenant with God in the new covenant, what does he give? I simply just think that Jeremiah 31, 34 lays it out better than anything. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. I will forgive their iniquity and I'll remember their sin no more. That is a part of the new covenant that God gives to us. I think a second part that I could go for a long time talking about all the different things we receive, but I wanted just to touch a couple of the major points. The next major point is in Acts 1. Let me make sure I read the right verses. Acts 1, 4, and 5. Many of you are familiar with this beginning passage in Acts 1. And in 4 and 5 it says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." This is Jesus talking to the disciples. "And Jesus said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So the first part that I'm going to say is necessary is of that we receive the biggest, and there's many. I don't want to say that this is the biggest and the best, but this is a key. The Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit, and also He forgives our sins, and He forgives our iniquities, and He remembers our sin no more. And He writes His law on our heart. This is what we receive. What's God's part of the covenant? That's what God's part is to us. What is our part to God? How do I walk in covenant with God? What do I have to do? Well, I told you a simple, in Romans 10, 9, confess. I think that there's two more things that as I was thinking about it, and it's simple. Simply said, it's hard to do. The first one I picked was in Matthew 5. If you want to turn to Matthew 5. And like I said, this is not a complete answer. This is just what I feel like is God's been talking to me about it, the highlights. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16. What is our part to God? What do we do? We do this. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." This is crucial. What is our part? I think it could be summed up in confessing Jesus as your Savior, having faith in that. I think it could be summed up in your second point, which is just being a light. Represent Christ everywhere you go. And the third one that I chose, and like I said, I don't want to offend anybody and say that I missed one, and I'm sure there's many that I could go on, but it's in Romans 12, 1. "Therefore, brothers, I appeal to you, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." That's all we have to do. It's simply said, confess, sacrifice ourselves, and be a light wherever we are. It's easy to do. It's easy to say. It's very, very difficult for us to do because we have this thing called free will. But I want to encourage you. We want to walk in covenant. This is what we do. This is how we walk in covenant. This is what God has intended for us from the beginning. And as I was thinking about the whole, the dating relationship versus a covenant relationship, it's so different. You're missing, when you're in that covenant, I've never been married, so I can't speak on it as much, but I've seen people. The good times, I think, are better, and the bad times are harder, it seems like, from my perspective, when they're in a covenant relationship. But throwing in the towel, it has been and it can be in a marriage, but in a covenant, it's not really an option. God does never intend to throw in the towel on his covenant relationship with us. And as I was thinking about this, and I told you back in March, I was talking about will, submitting my will, surrendering. And I just switched in July. God just started putting covenant on my mind. And I was like, why? What's the difference? Why would God put on my heart and start just showing me everything I saw in the read in the Bible at first was just submitting your will. And then I was reading and everything. I mean, I feel like the covenant word was the most popular word in the Bible as I was reading. I still feel like it could be because I've just been reading it and it just jumps out at me and I've never noticed it before. And I was thinking, God, why is this change? Why the change? What's the difference? And as I was talking again with Larry King, I'll give him credit where credit is due. He said in one of his things that in the Garden of Eden, man submitted his will over God's will. So when we fell, we asserted our will over God's will. And then we see, and I'm going to stress, it is not a coincidence. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he gets down on his knees, and he prays, and he says, God, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will. The day, the night before we see the crucifixion, the covenant, we see Jesus sit down and go to a garden and he submits his will to God. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that Jesus' blood was let out and let on the ground. That was a symbol of covenant for ages. It didn't just happen. It just wasn't happenstance. It's not a coincidence. God has intended it from the beginning. We see that even with Jeremiah 31. This is 400 years before Jesus' parents were probably even born, at least. And you think, he's writing this and he is putting a perfect picture to where when I want to talk about New Covenant, I think that this is my favorite passage. Now, and some people might say, well, that's hard to do because that's years before Jesus was even born. It's not. It's not hard to do. Because when God's involved, it changes everything. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob solely to set up for the covenant, this covenant that we're walking in now. And as I think about this, as I ask the question, and what I want to prick inside of you is this is the question I ask myself, and I'll phrase it in that way. Have I been walking in covenant with God? Have I made a conscious decision to walk in a covenant relationship with God where I know the benefits and the consequences, what I have to give, what I have to receive? Have I been keeping that in my mind? Or have I been dating God in a sense that God's here for me, it's good, it's my needs, it's my needs, he's meeting my needs, and I'm not really giving anything? Has that what my relationship with God been reduced to? And I realized there's so much more that I could be walking in. And I would encourage you that there is so much more God wants to walk in with you. And I'm not saying this as somebody that's an expert on the subject and that you. I'm saying this is something that I'm walking through, have been walking through since March, that I'm still walking through. And I'm still trying to get my head around. But it is so powerful to think I have been walking in a relationship where I was not committed. And it wasn't because I was ill-willed. It wasn't because I was doing it on purpose or I didn't want to step into that. It's because I just didn't know. And I had never thought of it that way. And I know some of you, many of you might have thought of it that way, but I want to say that walk in it. Own it. Wake up every day and say, I would say, read scripture. Think about, don't just take my word on what I think that our part of the covenant is. And don't just take my word on what God's part of the covenant is. Read it. Think about it. This is your covenant with God. Make it personal. There are verses that I will read 1,000 times, and there's a verse that I might read just when I'm passing through, and that verse might mean the world to you. And that's because the word is living and breathing, and it's changing, and it's talking to us in different ways all the time. So don't just take what I say, what I think, as these three verses, as in, read the Bible. Write it down. Say, God, I believe this is the covenant that you've called me to do, and I'm going to walk in it with everything that I have. I mean, fundamentally, you have to have confessing Jesus. So you can't say, well, I don't feel like that's part of the covenant. That's definitely part of the covenant. But those other things, those verses that I feel like in my life, the verses that I chose was the light of the world. The verse that I chose was sacrificing, living a life. The other one that I chose was in Joshua 24, when Joshua said to the people, you need to choose who you will serve. Are you going to serve the gods of the Ammonites, the Moabites? And he lists all these gods, and he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was another verse that popped out to me when I was reading through Scripture. And I want to say to you, read it. Think about it. Read Hebrews. Pastor Russ, when I was... I'd read Hebrews many times, but never with the side of thinking about covenant. I was talking to Pastor Russ. I sat down, and he said, Michael, you need to read Hebrews. He said, before you even start talking about it, read Hebrews. And like I do things, it's either all or nothing. So by the time I got home at like 9, I had read the whole book of Hebrews before I went to bed. I just read, and I read it again, and that's how I think. When I get something on my mind, I can't get it off. So I would encourage you, read Hebrews, read Jeremiah 31, read scriptures with mind of, God wants a covenant with you. See, in scriptures, we see that God made covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he made it with these people, and it was covering everybody. These covenants that he made was kind of like an umbrella covering for the people of Israel. And these covenants that he made was passed down and they were umbrella. But that all changed when Jesus came. Now, he makes covenant with each and every one of us. And that's what he points to in Jeremiah 31. No longer will the people say, know the Lord, teaching one another. For I would have written the law on their hearts. And they will know me from the least to the greatest, each and every one of them. And I want to say that God wants to know you. And there's nothing that anyone else can do to repair that relationship but your personal decision. And so as I end today, as we go about our weeks, I want a question to burn inside of your mind as you read scripture, as you walk, as you go to work, as you interact with your family members and your friends. Is my life being determined by my covenant with God? Or is my life determining my relationship with God? Are the things that are going on in the world of Michael Rich determining how I interact with God? Or is it my relationship with God is going to determine how Michael Rich interacts with the world? And I think that's the biggest difference. That's why I put the title, Don't Date God, because in a dating relationship, it is, how is this person interacting with me? How is the world around me? How do they help me? How do they do these things? What do they like? What do they dislike? But in a covenant relationship, it's totally different. In a marriage relationship, it's how can I live for you? And how are you living for me? And you think about this, how am I living for God? And we, like I said last week, and I'll close with this, is God never breaks his promises. He has promised a covenant with you, and he's not breaking it. So the only part of the covenant that we need to worry about it being fulfilled, we don't have to worry about God fulfilling his side. He doesn't break his promises. We have to worry about us fulfilling our side. What is determining my life? Is it the world around me, or is it my relationship with God? So, Father, as I think of you, as we read your scriptures, God, I pray that you encounter our hearts, that you write your law on our hearts, God, that we walk in a way that we know you, that we live a life devoted and dedicated and different and set apart for you. And that we don't worry about what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is saying, what you're doing. We just want to say, with my life, I am honoring the covenant that you have made with me. And I want to walk fully in what you've promised. It's in your name that we pray. Jesus. Amen.